All right, ladies and gentlemen, we promise you something classic, something dope. We got two DJs, two legendary DJs in the booth right now, talking about DJ Neil Armstrong and Q-Bird. What's going on, y'all?
Yo.
How y'all doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Y'all still got jet lag, or you guys okay?
Super tired.
Really? Super tired.
I'm super, super jet lagged. I've been out on this hemisphere since 26, so Australia, Singapore, Thailand, Philippines, and now here, so I'm beat.
But Korea is the best, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Right. Well, it's good that you're, you know, tired during nighttime, right, as opposed to sleeping during the day. But you're going to be working at night, though.
That's when we wake up.
That's true. So I guess it is kind of a problem.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No matter what, we're kind of messed up as DJs. So.
Yeah, when the show comes, it's full on energy.
Right. Yeah, I totally understand.
So right now, you're sleeping? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm sleeping with my eyes open.
That's not cool. Literally just sleeping.
I drew eyeballs on my eyelids right now.
That's dope. I like that.
All right. I know what I want to talk about first. The term DJ. You know, because some people consider us to be DJs. Paris Hilton, I heard, is actually doing a set
now. Yeah, I just saw that.
Hey, Paris is set?
Hey, do you have something bad to say about Paris?
No, I'm just saying it's you know, fantastic.
I'm just saying, everyone can leave right now. But seriously.
How was she?
How is she?
I know, I didn't see it. How was it?
I haven't seen it yet. I think she's
about to go on tour. I think that's her thing. She just announced that she's about to tour.
I'll tell you what. Think about taking an animal, right, and putting it on the turntables while it's spinning, and taking a baseball bat and beating that animal repeatedly. That's what her DJ set sounds like.
All right, but my point was, you know, that, you know, DJ could label anybody that does anything. So I think it's very specific that we talk about the type of DJs that you guys are. How would you even classify the DJ?
Well, there's different kinds, like you said. There's, you know, like you guys, radio DJs. There's mixtape DJs. There's party rockers. There's guys that juggle. There's guys that scratch.
Right.
Turntablists.
Yeah, turntablists, musicians. There's all kinds. And you said, like, there's a Paris Hilton kind, too.
And which one do you relate to the most?
I'm a scratcher, a turntable musician, or a turntablist.
Yeah. My original background actually is, he's like one of my forefathers, cat I used to watch when I was a lot younger. These days I've kind of migrated to the whole, a little more party rocking mixtape scene, but I take the skills that I learned as a turntablist and apply it accordingly.
He's like both, yeah.
Yeah. That's what's up. How does that make you feel that, you know, you're sitting next to somebody, and of course talking to Q-Bird, how does it make you feel when you're sitting next to someone to say, yo, this is like one of my forefathers, like somebody I used to look up to, now I'm rocking sets next to him?
I feel like I should go get some adult diapers or something.
All right. Well, look, we got to ask you. We know that before you started Behind the Turntables, of course you had to start off as fans, right? We like to know, when did you first fall in love with music?
Me first, I guess. Probably from the day I was born. Probably I'm Filipino American. Parents are Filipino. I was born in New York. For a lot of us, it's kind of ingrained in our culture. Like, we have every Filipino I knew had a piano. In her house. So I know how to play the piano, I know how to play the violin, I know how to play the flute, guitar, a bunch. And that's from when I was a kid. And then I went to church, so, you know, they made us sing, you know, so on and so forth.
What kind of church you go to?
I'm usually, Filipinos are Catholic. I happen to be a Protestant. I grew up in a Methodist church. And mine was insanely multicultural. It was really weird. So there was a Pakistani family in there. There was a Korean family in there. There was a Filipino family, us. There was black folk, white folk. Like, I just must have lived at this weird crux, the universe, where everybody kind of just hung out.
That's so dope. It's a blessing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So that's where my love of music came, just culturally. I just got into it from the get-go.
Right.
Yeah, I guess same with me. You know, when I was a kid, or even before that, my mom said her stomach, when she would play music, you see like lumps kicking on her stomach, little waves, her feet kicking out, trying to get out, and, you know. Yeah, it just grew to the music. I was dancing in her stomach, she said.
Wow, that's pretty dope. Nice. Well, my parents said, I came out, I ain't cry. They said, I just looked at everybody like, what are y'all doing here?
I don't know what my mom said. I feel like I can't answer the question, but I do have another question to ask you guys.
What is this?
That's not what she said.
That's not
what
your mom said.
That's not what you, hey, I told you that in confidence.
Sorry.
All right. The question I do want to ask you guys, Neil just touched on it, the fact that, you know, he grew up in Queens, right?
Yep.
All right. Now, where you're from, Q-Bert, it just has a very clear identity, a very clear presence, and I'm just curious, how did that shape the music that you make?
Well, I came from a big city, and in all big cities, there's a lot of, you know, diverse cultures. So you hear music everywhere. You drive around, you're in a Latin community, someone's blasting some Latin music out the window. You drive half a block, you know, somebody with the boombox is playing some, you know, some beats, and it's just everything. So all these sounds were just going into my psyche, and all the breakdancing, and all the kids were into b-boying when I was growing up, and you know, that affected me too. And
yeah,
and just all that crazy music. By being in a big city, there's so many people with information that it just gets everywhere.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, it's kind of, you know, it's definitely got a positive and a not necessarily negative, but it does something to your psyche when you're around everybody that does something entertainment related, something that has to do with music. Mm-hmm. You have it's easy to kind of get into it because everybody's doing it. But once you do it, it's like, yo, I'm not really good enough to, you know, to showcase this to other people because they're going to be so critical of me. I'm wondering how many hours did it take for both of you to really feel like, okay, I think I'm confident to step out in public now. You know, I've been working on my craft in my bedroom. I haven't taken a shower for about 3-4 days. You know, I've just been in here grinding. Mm-hmm. It's time for me to step out and showcase what I can do. How long did that take?
Me first.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm this weird creature of opportunity. Everything happened really quick for me, and like everything from me being a turntablist to working with Jay-Z kind of happened spur of the moment.
Yeah.
It was like you feast, like a, you know, trial by fire, type of deal. So I met Q-Bert one summer, actually out in Asia, in 1995.
Wow.
By that December, I was in my first DJ battle. Like going from not being able to cut it all to watching this guy and some of the other crews, the X-Men, who taught me how to DJ when I was back in New York. And yeah, that was that. And everything just kind of built really quickly for me.
Right.
So mine is a very strange situation. I think most people do spend a lot of time before they even get up in front of people, you know, to DJ. But it wasn't, I'm not saying I just got up like, yo, Q, what's up? And then
got in front of people.
I went home. And from that point on, I was like, this is what I want to be. Mm-hmm. I want to be a DJ. And every waking moment that I was not doing something important, you know, that was spent on my craft.
Word.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. That's what's up.
Well, for me, I had I was into DJing when I was a kid, when I was 15, and then I had this weird car accident, which the doctors were saying you can't really walk around, and you know, you got to heal up.
Mm.
So I was like, damn, okay, so what can I do? So I just, I guess I like DJing, so I stayed in my room and sat in this one chair or stool and just practice for hours and hours and hours, and then so that was like a misfortune turned into like something positive.
That's crazy, and
you know, there's that saying 10,000 hour rule.
Yeah.
You do some 10,000 hours,
that's exactly what I was
thinking, get really good at it.
Right.
So that helped me out a lot.
right
And then my mother was doing Mary Kay Cosmetics at that time, and she was the queen of recruiting for 4 years in a row for the whole United States.
Wow.
And so before that time period, she would, you know, they would like tell me I was trash, like, you know, you're I can't really cuss on the radio, but you're nothing. You're worthless and all this stuff.
Mm.
And then she started learning about all this self-help stuff because she wanted to be like the queen of recruiting. And she started learning, you know, you got to give yourself positive reinforcement. So I would walk by her every morning, you know, afraid to get whooped, you know, but she would be like, oh, you're a really good boy. And I walk by the next day, oh, you are the best. Oh, you can do anything. And I was like, what's all this positive stuff? But it was just sinking in my head.
Right.
And I applied that to my
my
10,000 hour ritual of just sitting there, you know, and it just got into me like hypnotically.
Yeah. That's interesting, man. It's interesting, you know, the type of influence people can have over somebody, you know, even just by saying small things like that, you know, you can do it, or, you know, I have faith in you, or whatever the case may be, right? Yeah, yeah, that's powerful. It's definitely powerful. Mm-hmm.
I like your hat.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to say something. I wanted to say something positive.
It came out of nowhere.
I wanted to say something positive.
Always.
All right. No, actually, I was looking at the next song that we're going to play. We wanted to play Warm and Fuzzy, if that's okay with you, Neil. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right. Is it going to make us feel warm and fuzzy?
Oh, absolutely. The beginning part. I'm not sure which part you're playing. It should be the first track, and you can kind of see what my style is when I make mixtapes.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and check out the first track from DJ Neil Armstrong. The name of the track is Warm Fuzzy.
Hey guys, we're back in the mix with Q-Bert.
Yeah!
Woohoo!
Neil Armstrong.
I'm really excited.
Oh my God.
When they came in.
Oh my goodness.
When they came in, my chest pointed.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Hard.
Hey, you know what I heard about Q-Bert?
Yeah.
He invented like all these different like scratching techniques and like these patents and
you know what
like
I heard
video
about Q-Bert?
Games and
I heard
everything.
He likes to jump on squares.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, and Neil Armstrong? After he went to the moon,
yeah.
Jay-Z was there on the moon.
Yeah.
And then they played like this amazing set.
Yeah.
And it was like crazy. Yeah.
And Jay-Z said, I like your DNA. I'm going to put it in my blueprint.
Hey, listen. Yeah. The song they made together was on the Silver album because the moon is silver.
Oh, high five, buddy. Yeah.
I think we're making them mad. Hey, guys, you guys still with us? Y'all good?
Yeah, man.
He's looking at his phone like, really? Really? He's actually sending a tweet right now that says, really?
What am I doing here?
All right. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But you guys, the question I really want to ask you about is when you knew that, when you reached that point where you knew this is not what you wanted to do, but when you really started getting that traction, who are some of the people that begin to give you support? You talked about how, you know, Jay-Z found out about you through mixtape. Q-Bert, what was that for you? When did you start getting nods from the people around you?
I don't know. I guess when we won that that first world competition in the DMC, and a lot of people, it was before the internet, so people would, you know, just exchange videotapes and stuff, and you know that's how information would get passed around. Was dubbing VHS tapes everywhere.
VHS.
Yeah.
You know what?
You
should tell people that. Like, if anyone ever tries to challenge you, like, I'm before the internet. Case closed. I mean, what are they gonna say?
That's actually a pretty good. Like, you really can't say anything about that. That's right. Like, I was before the internet. So.
But what? 25 years.
26 years DJing. 27 actually. Yeah.
27.
Yes.
Dang.
27 years DJing. Dad.
But you look 27. So I'm like,
oh,
really.
Thanks.
I am a little bit upset about that, to be honest with you, because you know, when I get older, if I don't look younger, right, I'm gonna just start punching everybody that looks younger than me. That's how it is too.
You already be punching people that look younger than you.
This is a good point. That's true. All right. So question. You guys have been battling for years, right? Years. Is there like one particular battle that stands out? Was there like that one memorable battle when it was like, yo, I got to tell this story to everybody I know?
Man.
Go ahead, Neil.
I remember, again, watching Q-Bert battle, and that was always amazing. He had a battle with the X-Men. That was, he'll probably end up mentioning that. For me, I was part of a crew of DJs called the Almighty Fit Platoon DJs.
Yep.
And, I'd probably say it was a little later in our career. We started really battling in 96, 97. But in 2004, 2005, we had inducted a new member into the crew. His name was I Emerge. Mm-hmm. And he ended up winning the USA two times in a row. I guess he was since Craze, he was like the first person to win. So just in case there's people out there talking about, what are you guys talking about winning? Like, we have, like, a faction very much like the WWE, the UFC. Like, we have a DJ faction. One of them was the DMC. There was another one called the ITF.
Mm-hmm.
And another one for me was when my crewmate won the ITF two times in a row. This kid named DJ Vinrock back in, like, 97, 98.
Nice.
And, you know, I was kind of... We had, like, a crew that was coming up after these guys and the X-Men and these other major crews and... those would be my most memorable battles from that time period.
I bet it was crazy stepping up in there. Like, yeah, man, I'm DJ Neo. You know, I'm just chilling. All right, man, let me get on these decks. Yeah, man, you know who I'm ears? Who I'm ears, that's what I said. All right, what about you, Q-Bert?
Yeah, like just like you said, the Executioners, battling them, you know, they were like the hottest battle DJs on the East Coast, and we were Invisible Scratch Pickles on the West Coast. Invisible Scratch Pickles was like Mixmaster Mike, who's the DJ of the BC Boys, D-Styles, Yoga Frog, Shortcut, Apollo, Disc, Flair, and we had the Battle of the Executioners. It was like, you know, at the time, it was kind of a little bit two different styles. Like, they were more beat juggling, and we were more, like, scratching. Mm. And so it was kind of like two different styles competing against each other. But we knew how to beat juggle, and they knew how to scratch, too. Mm. So it was just, it was a sight to see when you're... It was kind of like something. It was kind of like a Manny Pacquiao versus Mayweather finally came together.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, do you feel the same way, like the same sort of energy and the nerves as you're going up there to make it happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's like all this practice for like, you know, a couple minutes. You know, like months and months of practice and years of all your accumulation of all your knowledge come down to just a few minutes going against these guys, and it was like, ooh, we better not mess up,
right? You know, I'm sorry if I'm misquoting, but I remember reading something. I think it was maybe an interview or maybe an article about you where you had said something like that. Like, I just, you know, after a certain point, it's like, yo, like, I got to move on to something else because you spend so much time throughout the year for 6 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I got to move on to something else.
Yeah, but, you know, it still applies now. I still practice like crazy because it's like, I take myself as a jazz musician, so when I learn from these guys, it's like they practice more than I do.
Right.
You know, it's like, damn. So it's like, it's time to, I guess, even I'm not battling, I'm still kind of battling in a different realm.
I guess at this point, it's like you're battling your reputation.
Something like that. And it's not even, that's a good way to look at it. It's like you got to always, you know, give, it's like you're a chef and you got to always give out new recipes.
Right.
So you got to come up with new inventions all the time.
Right. Yeah, people be like, yo, you taste this, man? This is Chef Q-Bert? Get this out of here. Right, yeah, you don't want that to happen.
Definitely got to make sure to stay on top. And speaking of that, when it comes to the mixtape scene, Neil, you've done your thing. Like, your mixtapes really opened up some doors for you to allow you to do other things. Were you surprised at what your mixtapes were able to do?
Definitely surprised. Everything was unexpected. Just to bring it back a little, about 10 years ago, I started making mixtapes. That was my way of taking turntablism and kind of making it more acceptable for a wider audience. Mm-hmm. And,
did you say a wider audience or a
wider?
Same. We gotta get that money, man. That's not even funny. You know what I'm saying? Hey, soon as Lil Billy and Joanne get on to it, it's like, yo, payday, baby. Give me a Benz. Lil Ray Ray and them get on your mixtape. You ain't getting nothing.
But yeah, a wider audience of people. Like, turntablism had its, like, fan base, but as time went on, it kind of... Like, what kind of like jazz, actually. Mm. Jazz used to be huge.
Yeah.
And nowadays, you know, only fans listen to jazz or people who play jazz listen to jazz. Turntablism was kind of similar, so I wanted to give it to, like, a different audience that hadn't really gotten a chance to hear it as much or just didn't go to DJ battles. And that one mixtape ended up getting into certain people's hands, including people who used to work at Adidas, people that used to work at the NBA, people that used to work at Def Jam. One person actually was working with Jay, and Jay needed a DJ, and she was like, well, you should work with this guy, and that's why I'm working with Jay, and that's why I'm an Adidas Global Music Ambassador, and that's why I do stuff with the NBA, and that's why I've done everything just from making these mixtapes.
That's dope.
That is dope. And we got to ask you guys a ton of more questions on the other side of this break. We're going to go ahead and play a song by Q-Bert, Big Bad Wolf. We'll be right back.
No, this isn't really by me.
It's not by you?
No, it's a track that I would scratch to at a show.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. And who's the original artist?
This guy's from the Bay Area, too. His name's Megalodon.
Nice.
Yeah.
This is Megalodon, and this is a song that Q-Bert would scratch to. The name of the song is Big Bad Wolf.
All right, we're definitely back up in the mix. We still got Q-Bird in the mix. Neil, still here? You still here, Neil?
I'm here, man.
All right, well, cool. All right, we're just talking to you about, you know, how your mixtapes opened up a lot of doors for you and how you got a chance to, you know, rock with a lot of dope names. And both of you guys have graced the stage with some of the dopest names in hip-hop and music in general. And so I'm curious to find out, like, when was that moment when you guys just felt the energy of the crowd? That probably happens to you every single night, but I'm curious, is there a story of, like, something crazy or wild that happened one night when you guys were rocking a big show for any particular artist or even by yourself?
You want me to go first again?
Go for it.
It'd probably be all the stuff that I did with Jay. I was his tour DJ from 2008 to 2010, like the beginning of 2010. I've DJed at Madison Square Garden enough times that I don't care if I ever do it again. We did the Glastonbury Festival, which is this big festival in England that usually is headlined by a rock act, but this year they let Jay headline it, and there's somewhere between 120 to 140, 150,000 people. So to give you an idea of how many people that is, Madison Square Garden only holds 10,000 mm-hmm. when there's a concert. So it's 15 times that. Just everywhere you could look, there was just people. And we did that. I am the first hip-hop DJ to represent on the ones and twos for the inauguration of a president of the United States. So when Obama...
It wasn't Bush?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he was going to say it was Bush, the first one.
When Obama was inaugurated right after Beyonce sung At Last, you know, the first dance, I was on stage with Jay-Z. In the beginning, if you listen, I actually scratch Obama's voice before we get on. And, that's something crazy to add to the resume of memories I have, definitely.
Word. That is dopeness. I got to ask you about the university, sure. Scratch University. I was checking out online because it looks like you guys are giving an opportunity for people that don't know how to DJ or that are just learning how to DJ or even veterans to improve their game. When did you start, and what sort of progress have you seen so far?
When the guy that invented, AIM, AOL,
okay.
Yeah, AIM, you send the message to each other, instant messenger, right. He made like $40 million and quit the company and started making these online schools with like guitars and whatever, piano schools and banjo schools and harmonica schools online. And his son was like, "Hey, Dad, can you make me a DJ school?"
Wow.
And his dad, you know, because I had made these videotapes before of, like, how to scratch and all this.
Right.
His dad was like, who do you want to make the school? And he was like, "This guy right here, DJ Q-Bird." And he's like, "Who the hell is that?" And so they made a school for me. And it's been really successful. We got over 2,000 members around the world. And it's pretty crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, so do you really leave personalized, like, video messages to everybody?
Yes. If they send me a video, like, it's... of them scratching for a minute or two, then I can already tell, like, from the first 10 seconds, like, okay, this is what you need to improve on. And I'll send them a real quick video of how they can take it to their next level. And there's a lot of, you know, I'm a student on there too. There's a lot of kids that are teaching me. Everyone's going to know something more than the next guy. So
that's now, dope.
Is it just you on the site? Because I've seen stuff. I've seen like a segment with DJ Jazzy Jeff and some other people as well.
Oh yeah. A lot of guest scratchers will come through and you know, do a little appearance and stuff. And there's also a curriculum you can run through whenever you want, 24 hours a day, you know, from beginners to advanced and beyond that. And all these kids that make beats are just, they got the illest beats, and it's, you know, I love it, you know.
That's awesome. What you guys have done a lot professionally, right? I mean, clearly this is a huge accomplishment for you. I can see it in your eyes when you talk about it. They just light up, even though you're tired. I know you feel like dying right now, right?
But like dying, really? Yeah. I mean, no. You say he looks like death?
No, I ain't say that. But what is something that you guys have not done yet that you want to do?
We can't cuss on the air. I'm just kidding.
Just include the name.
Right. Yeah.
Wow, that's a good question. I don't know.
I guess there's a lot of stuff, you know, like, I did a movie before, and I wanted to make another movie, and you know, doing video games and stuff, and I like doing that. And I guess you know, when hologram technology comes out, I want to do that.
Word. Well, actually, hologram technology is out.
Mm, nice.
So maybe
Tupac.
Maybe I'll kill myself, and I can show up at one of your sets, and I can MC for you.
Awesome.
You know what? Yeah. You're DJing tomorrow. Uh-huh. You're right.
Yes.
Can I kill myself tonight? And
yeah, you got the hologram technology.
Oh, I forgot about
can
that.
Can I kill you? Huh? Can I kill you?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
Because we don't have the hologram technology, so we can't do that yet. Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to our interview.
Okay. So, so you guys actually you came to Korea because you have something going on tomorrow.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
We are involved with the Red Bull 3 style DJ battle. Tomorrow is the finals, the Korean finals, and me and this gentleman right here are going to be party rocking, doing some scratching after the battle is done. We're also judging the event. Mm. And you guys get to see Korea's best tomorrow if you come out.
Okay, and that's Club Answer from 10 to 4. Yep. So, yeah, I definitely want to check out I want to see the whole competition, but I want to check out you guys' set. So.
I'm a little upset about the website because I know it's 3style.co.kr, but I didn't realize that the second E
was 3.
It's a 3.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, what is this?
The website is very important. Get it right. We have to tell them the proper way to spell it.
Right.
Because if you guys go to the website, you guys can pick up tickets for free. You know, it's going to get a little hectic, so make sure to come early. Don't be the too cool for school dude coming in late, or else you're going to miss everything.
That'll be me. I come in at 5 a.m. like, where everybody at? All right. But yeah, definitely. Yeah. Go to 3style.co.kr. That's T-H-R-E, the number 3, STYLE.co.kr.
There you go.
Is that right?
We should probably just put that on Twitter.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
I'm going to do that right now, matter of fact. Nice. And I'm going to add you guys to it. And if I don't get retweeted, I'm going to kill myself, and I'm going to come back as a hologram, and I'm going to cuss you out.
Big Shana, man. Big Shana. All right, so upcoming projects. I know you guys are about to get out of here, but I definitely want to find out what do you guys have coming up, mixtapes, shows, whatever, besides tomorrow.
I'm on tour constantly. I stopped touring with Jay in early 2010, and I ended up just kind of – it was really crazy. I had – recorded this advertisement for Adidas right when I was still with Jay, and it came out the day that I ended up not working with Jay anymore, and they were like, well, if you're free, we're gonna make our relationship official. So I am one of the Adidas's global music ambassadors. As far as I know, I'm the only DJ that's part of that project. Besides me, there's Snoop Dogg, Big Sean,
Shizzle.
You know, and then on the performance side, you have Dwight Howard and D Rose. Mm. And D Rose, get better, please. Get better, please.
Yes.
And Katy Perry. There's a designer named Jeremy Scott that's down too. And I basically represent their brand, just like Jam Master Jay, rest in peace, just like he did back in 1986. And that's my main thing right now.
Have you actually met Katy Perry?
Not Katie, D Rose, Dwight, who else? I'm pretty sure I met Beckham, Snoop. I see him pretty often.
Well, I was just asking about Katy Perry because I'm going to ask you to pass off the number.
Oh,
so that,
right.
You know what I mean?
So her, she can call me.
Okay.
She has a song about fireworks, and I think if, you know, we were to get together. And
has she been to Korea? Has she come out here yet?
She hasn't been here yet. Gaga was just here.
You need to get at her.
You let me know.
Okay. All right.
All right. Cuba, what you got going on?
Right now we're working on the next movie. I made a movie before called Wave Twisters, which is
I was checking it out.
Oh, nice. And so right now we're just working on that. And I got a track for you guys from a little bit of it. It's a little experimental track called Moon Pyramid.
Okay. Yeah, okay, cool.
A bunch of scratching and all the beats are scratched and everything. And yeah, I got... Mr. Lift on the album. Cool Keith, you ever heard of him?
Yeah, of course.
And who else is there? Roscoe O'Malley. Mm. And trying to get Biz Markie on there right now for the album. So
who? Biz Markie?
Yeah, you guys ever heard of that guy?
Hey, what are you guys listening to these days? Like, what's hot right now? Like, what should we be checking out that we don't know about? Because you guys are probably working with MCs all the time.
you. What do you?
So just drop me you like
do
five.
This one first, and then I'll go.
You know, 3 to 5.
You know, I like. There's this new track that Mr. Lift just did with DJ Format, and it's real. Like they took it back to the Rakim, Kool G Rap, Big Daddy Kane type days.
Word.
And there's a track that DJ Scratch just did. DJ Scratch from EPMD. Yeah. He just made a B-boy track just like that too. Mm. And also Z Trip, DJ Z Trip. He made another type of B-boy type Rakim track too. Mm. So it almost seems like it's coming back to that.
You know what? I was just talking about that with another DJ earlier this week about how the, you know, things do kind of come back around.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah, so Mr. Lift are working on right now some kind of like B-boy type track like that with cuts and scratching
that's
and
awesome.
Ill MC and yeah.
Cool.
And the ill B-boy breaks.
Okay, that's what's up. Well, guys, thanks a lot for coming on the show. Really appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks,
thanks for having us.
All right, it's about time for us to go ahead and go into a song. We got a song called, the song is called Original? This is your track?
If it's mine, how about play? You want to play one of his? That
Let's
you want to play the scratch?
I actually
track,
want to play both of those back to back.
Okay,
we can
cool.
Line that up. I'm looking at my producer, seeing if we can make it happen. All right, so this has been DJ Neil Armstrong and Q-Bert. Anything else you want to say to the listeners out there, to your fans?
Go ahead, Neil.
All right. I mean, we're both on social networks, so you can follow us at Twitter. You know, we're no matter where we are in the world, follow us at Twitter. Mine's real easy, Twitter/DJ Neil Armstrong. His is just DJ Q-Bert. Mm. Facebook, DJ Neil Armstrong. I don't know. Is yours DJ Q-Bert?
Facebook is... Yeah, it was. I think it was Rich Katevis now. They put the whole name and messed it up.
All right. Yeah, so you have to find his.
Just get me on Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter. I'm on Instagram. We're on Instagram taking pictures of all the stuff that we're doing, eating food.
Same thing. DJ Q-Bert on Instagram.
Yep. Right. So, yeah, just come look for us and keep following us. We got good music for y'all. Make sure to come out tomorrow. Yep. And it'll be a good time.
Yeah, and if you forget, just go to DJQ-Bert.com.
Yep. Shouts to Red Bull.
Word. Shout out to Red Bull. All right,
let's go ahead and play that track. This is DJ Neil Armstrong. We'll have some more Q-Bert for you in just a little bit, right here on Night Vibe.
Okay, party people in the house.
This is something special for you.